بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my dear brothers and sisters, we are looking at a series of khutab on 2021 challenges and solutions. Last week I talked to you about the first of those challenges, which is toxic leadership, toxic politics, and the solution is to learn and exercise citizenship. Today I want to talk to you about the second of those crises that we are facing, and that is poverty and income disparity. If I asked you to create an economic system in which the combined wealth of 8 men, just 8 people, the combined wealth of 8 men would exceed the combined wealth of 50% of the world's population, 3.5 billion people. If I asked you if you can create a system like that, where the combined wealth of 8 people will be more, not equal to, more than the combined wealth of 3.5 billion people, you would say, this is an impossible task. This cannot be done. But let me remind you that you and I are living in it now, as I speak. And I don't know if any of you, if one of you is hiding behind the mask, but as far as I know, none of those 8 people is here. You are not one of those 8 people. And this is not a figure that I dreamt up out of my head. This is from a very impressive study from Forbes, which is the book of millionaires, of billionaires, and Credit Suisse Global Wealth Data Bank. It's been 4 years since the World Economic Forum identified rising economic inequality as a major threat to global stability. But Oxfam says the problem is not only not solved, but it is getting worse. This nation, America, the 644 billionaires in this country have enjoyed a staggering rise in wealth since the pandemic shuttered the economy in March last year. With this group gaining, I'm not talking net worth, I'm saying gaining, almost $1 trillion. We're not talking billions now. Now you might say, well, what happened in the meanwhile? I'll tell you what happened in the meanwhile. 40 million people filed for unemployment. In 2007, in the subprime crisis, the housing debacle, when the housing bubble burst, prices fell by 21%. Just look at the numbers. The prices of housing fell by 21%, but 3.1 million houses were foreclosed on. Mortgages were foreclosed on, and 3.1 million people became homeless. By 2009, 8.8 million had lost their jobs. And we are still talking only America. During the period 2009 to 2012, 99% of the population of this country, their income went up by 0.4%. That is less than half of 1%. For 99% of the people, their income went up by 0.4%. For the top 1%, it went up by 31.5%, one third more than what they were earning, same period. Why? Because of the interest-based economic system. The Oxfam report, interestingly, is the title of the report is The Inequality Virus. It said that the wealth of this country's billionaires, as I mentioned to you, went up by 35%, so 34.5% during the lockdown, while 84% of households suffered varying degrees of income loss. In India, very interestingly, during that period, 170,000 people lost their jobs every hour in the month of April 2020. 170,000 job losses every hour. We're not talking about the month, every hour in April 2020 alone. In the US, the top 1% could give a check of $3,000 to every single American and still have more money than they had before the pandemic. I'm not talking about government relief checks, I'm talking about individuals. These eight people would give every single person $3,000, a check of $3,000, and they would still have more money than they had before the pandemic. In India, the billionaires in India could have given every single Indian a check of 100,000 rupees and still have more money than they had before the pandemic. Now, far from trickling down, I'm sure all of you have heard of the trickle-down effect. These are all figments of the imagination, which are taught to us in the name of business. Far from trickling down, income and wealth are being sucked up at an alarming rate. And this is what, these are not my words, these are the words from the Oxfam report. Interestingly also, for those who are interested in gender equality and gender equity, there is a huge gender disparity. Of the 1,810 billionaires around the world, 89% are men. Global poverty is one of the very worst problems that the world faces today. The poorest in the world are often hungry. They have much less access to education. They regularly have no light in the house at night, and they suffer from poorer health. To make progress against poverty is therefore one of the most urgent global goals. Incidentally, for those of you who are interested, GDP and per capita income, these are the two parameters that are usually bandied about when you talk about how India's GDP is growing or how some other country's GDP is growing. These are the worst and least accurate ways to measure the prosperity of a society. Poverty is not a factor of GDP, but of income distribution. And the amount of actual disposable income in people's pockets resulting in discretionary spending. Income disparity is the key factor of prosperity, not GDP. The inequality between countries is not the only aspect that needs to be considered. Inequalities within countries and societies, regional differences, racial differences, gender differences, and inequalities across other dimensions can also be large and are beyond a person's individual control. If you take a racial, gender, and age profile of the 400,000 people plus who have died of COVID in this country, you will get an exact picture of what I'm talking about. Who are the majority? The majority of people who died of COVID in this country, who are they? It's not just numbers. Look at the race profile, look at the age profile, look at the gender profile, and you will find that the majority of them were poor people. Now, why should you be concerned about all this? Why am I talking about all this? I'm not running a management class here. Because Islam places such a huge difference on charity. And this is not only about your akhirah. This is because this makes huge sense. This is the only thing which makes sense in this life of this world as well, which is to eliminate poverty. Poverty is not only about having nice toys or not having nice toys. It's about hunger. It's about sickness. It's about lack of education, lack of access to education. It's about lack of control on your life. It's about insecurity for the poor, for themselves and their children. Now, why should you be concerned? Because people who are poor, undernourished, fearful, and undereducated are far more susceptible to manipulation than anybody else. Educated or not, poor or not, in democracies, they vote. When income disparities are high, the majority tends to be comprised of those who are deprived. Come elections, that can make a huge impact. The strongest societies are those which have the least disparity. We will never have total equality, and that is not even the goal. But disparity must be reduced, with certain critical needs being fulfilled equally for everyone, irrespective of their economic status. And those critical needs are food security, no one must be hungry. Basic education, no one must be uneducated. Healthcare, no one must be sick and not have access to medicine. And no one must be homeless, shelter. Food security, basic education, healthcare, and shelter. These are, therefore I'm saying nobody must be homeless, hungry, sick, and without access to good education until high school level. Contrary to what some people like to believe, this does not take away the entrepreneurial spirit, but it gives it impetus because energy of the person is not being drained in mere survival. It is only when survival is assured that a person can think of development beyond that. The solution to this, having talked about the problem, let me talk about the solution. The solution to this is entrepreneurship. COVID came as a blessing in this context because it enforced entrepreneurship. People lost jobs and so they had to seek other ways of supporting themselves. Companies downsized and outsourced some functions. Amazon Prime is a prime example of this, where they outsourced their deliveries totally. Entrepreneurship is also the solution because it makes people more self-reliant and confident and contributors instead of merely being consumers. Entrepreneurs create jobs. Entrepreneurship is all about spirit. It is to recognize that you did not come into this world either randomly by accident or by your own choice. Your parents did not choose for you to be born. I believe that we were sent with a purpose. When we discover that purpose, we enter a state of grace. A fish out of water is the most clumsy, awkward creature in the world. It can't move, it flops. Desperately, it gasps for breath. But the same fish, when you put it back in the water, it disappears like a flash. The epitome of grace, speed, and beauty. When we are in our appointed task, we are like a fish in the water. The world conspires to help us to succeed. But first, we must recognize our purpose and then we must consciously accept it. That is the scary part. But that is the threshold that must be crossed to demonstrate that we are in and not out. Without crossing the threshold of owning responsibility for our lives, we cannot expect anything to happen. As somebody said, everyone has two birthdays, the day he was born and the day he discovers why. Now, sadly, a lot of people never have the second birthday ever. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Now brothers and sisters, I remind you and myself that choices are not always easy. As a matter of fact, all the important ones are difficult. The most difficult thing to choose between is to choose between two apparently good alternatives. But the choice must be made. Everything depends on that. We sometimes mistake success for ease and we complain about difficulty. We forget that difficulties come to test us so that the prize can be given once we surmount the difficulty. Success goes to those who can overcome difficulties, not to those who complain about them. Each difficulty resets the bar and creates a new definition of excellence, without which we would have been lulled into a false sense of security which hides fatal flaws. Only winners get medals. Those who fail are relegated to the garbage pile of the detritus of history. A vibrant middle class is essential to survival in any economy. The bigger the middle class, the bigger the market for goods and services, and more money flows into the economy and is available for public services like healthcare, education, transport, and so on. Contrary to the myth of trickle-down, money doesn't flow down from the super-rich or from global multinational corporations into local economies. The super-rich don't use local services. They live in ivory tower isolation and are generally unaffected by local conditions as they are surrounded by multiple cordons of insulation. Multinational corporations are answerable to their shareholders who don't live in Soweto, so to speak. And so they don't care what happens in local economies. Many don't even employ local people except in menial jobs because locals may not have the education and skills that are required for them. In the world of entrepreneurships and startups, which I inhabit and have some claim to, we say that you can't succeed in your startup until you make a significant personal contribution. Most successful entrepreneurs deliberately have no plan B because of two core beliefs: their unshakable belief that they will succeed, and their belief that a second option blunts the edge. It takes the edge off desperation, takes the edge off hunger, and that is detrimental to the result. So they like to remain hungry, remain desperate, and to succeed where everyone else thought they would have failed. They use others' derision and naysaying to spur them to do even more, and they prove their detractors wrong. Excellence is measured in many ways, one of the most important of which is your confidence and the ability to stay on your chosen path. You will find when you do that other people will often fear your high ideals and goals. To remain on the path and not be discouraged by their lack of confidence is a measure of your excellence. I've always measured the strength of my goals by the number of people that they scare the daylights out of. To me, it means that I'm on the right path. The only path that doesn't scare sheep is the path to the pen. And personally, I have never enjoyed being penned. Danger is both exciting as well as mostly imaginary. But when we embark on lofty goals, which are rooted in integrity and truthfulness and the desire to do something worthwhile in the world, what we know of it as well as what is unseen conspires to make us succeed. Angels walk with you, though you can't see them. Doors open for you where you would not have imagined. Very principle, simple principle of physics. Water flows down the slope. So if you are climbing a hill and rain falls, then water will flow to you. So it doesn't matter where on that hill you are, as long as you are going in the right direction, which is climbing upwards, the resources will come to you to enable you to succeed. But to succeed, you cannot run away from your fears. Because if you run away from your fear is behind you, and that's more scary. You have to look at your fear straight in the eye and stare at it until it looks away. Not turn your back on it. Especially because what's behind your back becomes even more scary. Let's see what Islam says about entrepreneurship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تُؤْتُوا السُّفَهَاءَ أَمْوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقْهُمْ فِيهَا وَاكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa, which means, and do not give to foolish people your property, which Allah has made a means of support for you. But feed and clothe them with that and speak to them words of kindness and justice. This is one of the best ayat to define succession planning. That's my super specialization, family businesses. And in my book, I have a book called The Business of Family Business. In that, I have mentioned this. And I've said that it's amazing to me where I see entrepreneurs, millionaires and billionaires, who hand over the business, usually to sons, who are incapable of handling it. Without preparation, without anything. But they will give them a business worth 100 million, a business worth 1 billion, to run, and then they are very surprised when it runs into the ground. What else do you expect? Here is an ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, prepare them. Prepare them, get them ready before you give them something which Allah has given you as a means of sustenance for yourself and others. Meaning, treat your wealth with responsibility. Don't just throw it around because Allah gave you money. That's a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Treat it with responsibility. And when the time comes to give it to somebody, give it to people who are capable of running that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ بِالْبَاطِلِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ تِجَارَةً عَنْ تَرَاضٍ مِّنْكُمْ وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Allah said, which means, O you who believe, do not eat up your property amongst yourselves unjustly, except as a trade amongst you by mutual consent, and do not kill yourself nor kill one another. Surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most merciful. Rasulullah said in a hadith in Tirmidhi, an honest, truthful, and trustworthy businessman is together with the Anbiya, the Siddiqoon, and the Shuhada. Businessman, doing business honestly, truthfully, and in a trustworthy manner. Then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith also in Tirmidhi, every ummah has a fitna, which is a means of testing. The fitna of my ummah is wealth. Now this does not mean be poor. There is nothing romantic about poverty. If you are in need, you can help nobody else. It means the wealth is a test. Earn the wealth and use it for your benefit in the dunya and akhirah. Sometimes people misquote this hadith or they mis-explain it and they say something is wrong with wealth. Nothing is wrong with wealth, believe me. We need to have wealth. We must be powerful. We must have authority. And then use it in a way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is good for everybody. The last hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, unnecessary words and vows are uttered in trade. Shaitan and sins intervene. Purify your trade with sadaqah. Make sadaqah into a habit. Every single day give some sadaqah. Even if it's a dollar. Every single day. And this hadith is in Abu Dawud, Tirmidhi and Nasai. And you know what this means. When you are selling something, you talk highly about it. More than what it actually is. And if you are buying something from somebody, you will try to beat down the price by, you know, saying, oh, what kind of thing? This is not nice and so on, so on, so on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't do either of these. Don't exaggerate either in praising something or in detracting something. To end, I want to, again, solutions. What must we, meaning Muslim individuals and organizations, what must we do? Three things. Number one, make vocational education compulsory in all schools, religious schools, secular schools, whatever. Teach them a skill, something to do with your hands. Sometimes we have an ego problem with this. How can my son be a plumber? You know what they are earning in this country? You know this. So what's wrong with that? Honest job. He's making minimum $50 an hour. Maybe more. Teach them a skill. Vocational skill. And it's not only about doing the job and earning the money. It's the question of dignity of labor, of responsibility, of problem solving, of creating something valuable and so on and so forth. Even if he never does plumbing in his whole life, even if he never does carpentry in his whole life, it will teach him life lessons which will be good for him for the rest of his life. So make vocational training. Let every child learn a trade. Then instill the work ethic and teach a multitude of essential skills. That's what it will do. Vocational education compulsory in every school. Number two, teach entrepreneurship in every school through practical opportunities. Help them to experience entrepreneurship, how to build teams, how to take responsibility, how to lead, how to communicate, customer service, budgeting, financial planning, social responsibility, everything. And the third one is to set up a venture capital rolling fund. Give the money out interest free and let them pay it back. Teach them how to make a business plan and pitch for funding, how to deal with failure and recover, how to make high powered business presentations to VCs for funding. Set up a venture capital fund. Help people start businesses, because entrepreneurs provide jobs. Muslims must become job creators, not people standing with their hat in hand in line for a job. The world of today and tomorrow is the world of the entrepreneur. It is they who will create the new power structures that are needed to challenge the toxic hegemony of predatory capitalism. Entrepreneurs will change the world. They must be Muslims. And that is critical. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة